Okay, I'm gonna call the meeting, special meeting of Town of Discovery Bay CSD District to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
President Pease.
Here.
Vice President Lee.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Still is absent.
You're not supposed to be here.
Yes, he is.
Okay, I'm at this time gonna open up for public comment. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment, we're going to open session with disclosure, closed session agenda, staff.
The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will reconvene into or adjourn into closed session per the agenda item D1.
Okay, I'm going to reconvene from our special meeting back to staff to report.
The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors is reconvening from closed session and reporting out of closed session. There is no reportable action. You can adjourn the closed session and then reopen the regular scheduled meeting.
Okay, we're going to do that with one bang. So we're now closed special session and now opening the meeting at 7:05. Can I have roll call, please?
President Pease.
Here.
Vice President Lee.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Still is absent.
Okay, join Director Lee for the
pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we're going to open public comment. I have a request for a speaker that wants to talk about public comment on fire protection. We have a presentation, probably at that time, that you'd want to make that comment. Is there any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and go to the consent calendar.
I make that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We move to monthly water report from the DLA, please.
Hey, Bernie.
Yes.
So, in the month of March, continue our safe practices, but we're almost 110,000 hours without recordable, knock on wood. All safety training was done. We did some operational training of reviews. All monthly reports were submitted to the state on time. All wells are running. 42 million gallons of water was produced and sent out into the distribution center system in the month of March. All vaccines come back negative. We can see here on the water conservation that our water here for 2016 is kind of keeping around the 40 MGD, which is pretty stable. Reduction from 2013 compared to this year, we're at 50% this month, of for the month of March. So we did very well in water conservation. Recycling is 2.5 million at the wastewater plant. All of our monthly lab results and all parameters were met in the month of March. No violations, lift stations are running. Continue the flushing program, manhole inspections, and continue to weed out the PMs, and you can see the backlog is way down, so the staff's doing a really good job of keeping up on maintenance. And that's there, our beautiful picture of plant
view. Question, Bernie?
Yes.
On the wastewater services, I was looking at the lab report and it looks fine, but I was curious that we see a reduction in BOD and suspended solids growing up. Is there any reason for that? Do they track together or should they?
They stay pretty close. If your BOD is a little higher than the other, more solids, and your TSS is a little higher. But they stay pretty consistent. I mean, over the 4-year period, we averaged We have about a fiber building, a 4-0 GSF, we pretty much stay delivering my.
Full strength employees?
Full strength. We're getting ready to hire two more, but we're doing really good.
Any other questions for the board? Public comment? Another excellent job.
Thanks, Bernie.
Okay, we're gonna move on to business and action items. Item one, notice of completion. I'd like to ask for a staff report on that, please.
Thank you very much, members of the board. This item is the proposed notice of completion for the secondary improvement project. It was an approximately $5.7 million project. It had a 5% retention to ensure that everything has been completed. After the staff report was released, I have learned that the project has not yet been completed. There is some asphalt that is unacceptable, and there are a couple of motors that are not operating as we would have expected it. And so I'm asking that this item be pulled from the agenda and brought back to you when the project is actually complete.
Do I hear a motion for staff recommendation?
Make a motion. So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor of removing it from the approval?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're going to move on to item E2, wastewater master plan. Staff, please.
Thank you very much. As you recall, when the district was doing the capital improvement program, we identified approximately $1.4 million of improvements for Plant 2 that had been proposed. Because of that, this board decided that it was prudent to do a further evaluation of Plant 1 and whether what long-term needs would be at Plant 1 and whether it makes sense to move those facilities to Plant 2. And so the district contracted with Stantec at a price of, I believe it was about $37,000. And the results are in your package for you. Of note is that they are recommending that there be $4 million worth of improvements in Plant 1, not the 1.4 that was previously estimated. Because of the substantial difference in that, I believe this report requires further scrutiny. $4 million is approximately $677 for every one of our residential customers, and we want to make sure that our pencils have been sufficiently sharpened and that every employee in the district that has value to add to this discussion has been given an opportunity to do so. So my recommendation is that you accept the report, not to adopt it as an amendment to the master plan, but simply accept it now, and we will take it back, do further analysis on it, and bring it back to you.
Any further board questions?
Good idea.
Any public comment? Seeing none.
I move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks, Captain.
Yep. Okay, at this particular point, we're going to move to presentations. East County Volunteers for Equal Protection. Al Bray, please.
So, which you got to move on? Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Hal Bray. I represent the East County Voters for Equal Protection. You know, I'm not a member of the fire district. Nobody who is, you know, but we are the only grassroots organization that's fighting to fund the fire district. We're a single issue group. This is the only issue that we're fighting for. And as soon as we get the district funding, we will disband. Besides the Park Point, you know, I also brought a list of all the agencies that receive property taxes within the county fire district. And these are all the districts, I mean, these are all the public sector entities and how much they receive as property taxes. And we'll talk about what we want to do with that. So if you look at this first page, this is our value proposition, and that is if you live in San Ramon, Danville, Walnut Creek, or anywhere else in Contra Costa County, your 1% property tax would provide a very robust Fire District. But because of how the reallocation was done in 1978, that's not true here in East County. So in 1978, after the passage of Prop 13, the legislature was given the job of allocating the property taxes. Because we were a volunteer fire district, that's our little, you know, our little red chart mark over there that shows how much we received. It was about 7.5%. The other fire districts on this chart were already fully operational, and they received from 9 to 30%. So our funding issue was very clear. This is the simplest problem to define that you've ever seen. The district is chronically and permanently underfunded, and nothing the board does can make it any better, except to get more funding. So our method of funding the district is to reallocate property taxes within the district. Within the district, there's $154 million in property taxes that are collected and distributed to the various agencies. So East Contra Costa Fire gets 7.5%. That's about $1.6 million. Now, if you look at the county average on that chart, the county average is around 12%. If in fact the district got the county average, we wouldn't be here tonight because they would be getting $18.4 million. Confire gets 14%, 21 million. San Ramon Valley gets 15%. The Moraga Orinda Fire District is 21%. The problem with the allocation legislation in 1978 is it doesn't allow them to go back and revisit that every 5 or 10 years. So it's the same today as it was in 1978. So we've got the difference between the 7.5% and the, say, 15% that San Ramon Valley is. Well, that answer would be you. It would be you, the Liberty School District, the Byron School District, the city of Brentwood, the city of Oakland. So in effect, since 1978, all of the public entities that are in East County Fire District have been getting a bonus that other cities and districts don't get within Contra Costa County. So what we have proposed is that we reallocate the property taxes that people currently receive, that these entities currently receive, and you have that list. And we're trying to fund $7.8 million. We would reallocate that over a 3 or 4 year budget cycle. We know that the government entities have budgets, they have labor contracts, they have things that they are responsible for. So we don't want to see any kind of reallocation take place overnight. And we're saying that we want all public entities to participate by giving 5.2% of their property tax revenue to the fire district. For the town of Discovery Bay, that's $29,000 a year. You'll see you guys are last on this list. So 5.2% of the property tax works out to be usually about 1 or 2% of the revenue for that entity, for any particular entity. For example, the city of Brentwood, their budget is $46 million. They get about $11 million in property taxes. So taking 5% of their property taxes is about between 1 and 2% of their total revenue base. By taking 7.8 million, we would be able to open 3 more stations, giving us 6. And then what we said is if we can reallocate to get 6, then we would support putting a tax measure on the ballot to go beyond 6. So we're not opposed to a tax measure. We're opposed to a tax measure before we reallocate property taxes because we think that this is a community problem and it should be solved by everybody, not just the taxpayers, but the school districts, the special districts, and the cities that are involved in the county. So everybody has to play a part in this game. That's our proposal. Now, we know, and you're going to hear later, that reallocation is really hard, and it's really difficult, and it takes a really long time. So what we've said is, okay, there's a short-term way of doing this that would also show the legislature, which has to be involved in the long-term solution. The short way of doing this is to form a, do an MOU or a JPA of all the agencies, and you would manage that locally. And you could do that in the short term. As example, the city of Brentwood, the city of Oakley, and the county just did that and gave the fire district $2.2 million. So what we're saying is you could do the same thing and build a coalition of all the public entities here within the fire district to a 5-year or a 10-year MOU or whatever period of time that group could come together and negotiate. That, in fact, would demonstrate to the legislature that you're in favor of doing that. And that would give us the power to go forward with the reallocation. So that's our basically whole story. And you can follow our group. There's myself and Brian Scott, who started, and Rob Booker, who was here in Discovery Day. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Hey, how are you doing? Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Kevin.
How many of these agencies have you approached, and how many have agreed to consider getting involved in reducing their budgets or reducing their increase in budgets prior to coming here?
Right now, I'm in the process of meeting with all the school districts. We did Liberty High School District the other night. We've been to the cities. We've been to the fire board, and frankly, nobody has said they are willing to do it. That's actually the first issue. You know, when you talk to people that are in elected office here, and you say we want to do reallocation, they always say, "Oh, that takes so long. It's so hard to do." But they never tell you why. The why is because they won't vote for it. So our job, we feel, is to create the political will of the local elected officials to go forward and to meet with each other. I mean, I've lived in Brentwood for 12 years, and I'm kind of horrified that this fire district funding issue has gone on for more than 10 years without anybody doing anything about it and funding it. And I do not understand why our local elected officials can't come together and pound out some kind of a solution, whether it's 7.8 million or 8.2 million or 6.4, but I don't understand why this body and the other bodies can't come together. Is that a long enough answer, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, it was a little more than what I expected for an answer, to be honest with you. You know, I've been going as a representative of this board. I've been going to the ECCFPD meetings now for at least 5 years on a regular basis. When there was talk of closing down Station 59, within less than 12 hours, we had 80 people at that meeting making sure that people knew how important that station was for Discovery Bay to be there. So it's not like we're not engaged. But in essence, one of my issues is that really, and I've been following all your literature, I really have. One thing you didn't address here tonight was how, previously I'd heard you say that you were only going to address increases based on property values increasing to make up that difference. In other words, if things stayed flat right now, there'd be no more money for the district. Is that correct?
Right. That's what we said is this. You know, we want people to allocate, and we want people to allocate 5.2%. And we would do it over a 3 or 4 year period. So that would be over the first 4 years, you would only do like 1%, right? Because you're going to take your 5.2% and divide it into 3 or 4 years. So you're going to take you know, one-third of the 5% increase the first year, two-thirds the second year, and three-thirds the next year, so that people aren't losing money in their current budget. They're giving up their increases over the next 3 years, or part of their increase over the next 3 years. Does that make sense?
That would make sense if we knew, you know, we've got a presidential election. What happens if property,
well,
property can go down? We've experienced that just as it can go up. And
sure.
I don't know how we can. My concern is that by the time we get around to, if in fact this was an effective plan, and it makes sense, but let's just say it was an effective plan, and it did influence the legislatures, which I have a little problem with believing that that's going to happen, because it's not just this little district in East Contra Costa County that's going to be affected by their decision,
right,
but the entire state.
Right.
So now you've got to get the majority of the population in Southern California to agree to do something that's going to help out a small district in Northern California. That's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think so, but okay.
Well, but it will affect the whole state. You can't just isolate it to our district.
Well, you can isolate it, I think.
Okay.
And then
we'll go with that.
Right. Right.
I think that it's going to be a difficult sell to go to the legislature if, in fact, there's no more ECCFPD because it's just flat out gone bankrupt and it's gone. So now you're going to the legislature and saying, hey, give me money, reallocate funds to support this. Oh my gosh, it's not even there.
Okay.
Because we can't wait.
Right. Okay.
The district's only got a year of funding.
Right, so let's go back to the short-term answer, which we said you could, the city of Brentwood, the city of Oakley, and the county did an MOU in less than 6 months. Is that correct? Was it less than 6 months? Yes, it was. Okay. You could do an MOU, and you could pull this together on a short-term basis during this year, and then fight for the reallocation as we move forward. So to me, it's a political will, Kevin. Are we going to let this go like 10 more years? If you're going to look at a tax, the district has not been able to pass a tax in two elections. There's going to be at least a half dozen new taxes on the ballot before the voters get to this. They're not going to vote for this because they're already going to have to vote on 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 taxes. So we think this is the best solution. It offers a permanent solution and it pulls together the community. I mean, I think this is, from what I hear the people in Discovery Bay, this is the number one safety issue in Discovery Bay. It's not speeding or speed bumps. It's the fire protection response time. So if there's a political will to do this, and that's, when you hear someone say it's too hard to do, it's because they don't have the political will to do it. It's in my opinion. And I think it's a doable thing. Or we wouldn't be doing this. And we're not going away. I mean, you know, we're here. You know, we're here for the long
term. Is there any
other? No, I appreciate your information.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, yes, all right.
I want to thank you for bringing that to our attention. I do have a question, though. You indicated you're just on your quest. I think there's about 50 different agencies on our list, approximately.
About 30, right.
It appeared from what I heard, maybe 5, 6, 7 of them that you started to engage with. And one of them, you said about last night, one of the school districts was
talking about.
Yeah, just based on that school district, how did that reception go?
Well, we did a presentation in the public comments. They didn't ask questions because it was public comments. The superintendent called me, and we have a meeting next week to talk next week. Now, the Liberty School District has an $81 million budget. They've got 6% in reserves. They've got an excellent budget. You know, I've never heard, frankly, I've never heard a school district say I have more money than I need. So we don't expect it to be an easy, you know, like, yeah, we jump on board and here we go. So we're gonna start those discussions.
That would, their share would be approximately $1 million.
Yeah, 1.3.
Yeah,
right. Which is 2%, a little less than 2% of their budget. You know, if you look at, like, David Twa, the county administrator, said, well, your plan would cost us $971,000 a year. Well, he's got a budget of $1.3 billion. So it's a rounding error. 971,000 is a rounding error in that budget. So again, we know this is not easy. Nobody likes to give up money. That's what labor negotiations turn in. Nobody goes, yeah, I'll give up my pension. So we know we're going to be a pocket. And we might be to join our pocket is what we do.
Thank you for your presentation.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
And we'd now like to call the second half of that discussion for the Brentwood City Manager.
Yes.
Good evening. Thank you very much, board members, for giving me some time on a busy agenda this evening. I'd like to thank Catherine, too, for putting this together this evening. Gus Vina, City Manager for the City of Brentwood. I've been here a little bit over a year. I'm here today as a Fire and Medical Services Task Force member, not the City Manager for Brentwood. And I think a little bit of history is probably appropriate, as I haven't addressed this board before. And you know, when I arrived in Brentwood, the district was at the tail end, if you will, of a second attempt to raise revenues for the district. And soon thereafter, as we know, that particular measure did not pass. And quite frankly, with zero authority, I decided that it was time to put a task force together with a number of leaders from the region and kind of challenge ourselves on what do we do next, right? We can't give up on this issue. This is, in fact, a very important public safety issue for the region. And I think that Mr. Bray and I disagree on many things. The one thing we do agree on is sort of the problem statement. This doesn't need to be fixed. And so I set up a task force back in June and brought some fire chiefs together, chief of staff from the Board of Supervisors, the city manager from the OT, myself, local 30 fire union was involved, and we challenged ourselves on some next steps. And kind of fast forwarding, because a lot happened between June and now, we did, in fact, were very successful in bringing elected bodies, Board of Supervisors, City Councilors for Oakley, Brentwood, the Fire Board together on some next steps that make sense and some possible solutions. And I'm going to share the three recommendations that, quite frankly, have been approved through a memorandum of understanding between the two cities, the county, and the Fire Board. I do want to clarify, though, because misinformation can be dangerous. The effort was very difficult to get people together, to look at their budgets, and to suggest that they needed to pay more into the district was not an easy thing to do. More importantly, the funding that we did finally cobble together was not property tax money, number one. And secondly, it was one-time in nature. And I think that's just a very important distinction between the plan we just heard and what we're trying to accomplish here, because we went into this, we, the elected bodies that engaged, fully knowing that it's one-time money. We give the fire district one more fire station, right, life until June of 2017, then we're right back to where we are today. So the idea of trying to reallocate over a number of years, make it permanent funding shifts, is a zero-sum game. Very difficult, quite frankly, for the agencies to sit down and be able to do that. Quite frankly, in Brentwood, now I've opened on the city manager I have for Brentwood, we do 10-year fiscal modeling, which means that in this approach, we would have to really have to sit down and say, okay, well, of course we model growth into future years, and then how many officers are we going to hire in code enforcement and park maintenance, and so there are absolutely reductions that would have to be considered, and not just by elected bodies, but by the communities. Are those acceptable? There are definitely trade-offs if the approach is going to be zero-sum game. So our approach is a little different. Three recommendations have been approved in the MOU. One was to open the fourth station. I mentioned how we put the funding together for that, and that station will be coming online June, July. I know that they have hired the people and there's a long training process, and I'm not going to play fire chief, but I can tell you that that station is, it's on its way, and it was the task force way and the elected body's way of trying to sort of patch things a little bit while we come up with long-term solutions. Secondly, there's a master plan that's being put together. We can't continue to move forward with band-aids. We have to ask ourselves, we have 100,000 plus people in the fire district now. What's that number going to be in 25, 30 years? And whatever plan we develop needs to address the people that are going to be living here in addition to the ones that are here today already. And the third recommendation was to explore November 2016 ballot initiative to raise some revenues. And that's really why I'm here this evening, because we need your help. We need your help in communicating with the public. And so wherever you have connections and wherever you know in your emails and Twitters and all that fancy stuff that we have today, we're going to ask you to please join us and help get the word out. It's about community contact and public input. I live in the same world you live in, right? Town hall meetings like this. And look how many people can show up to these meetings and participate, right? And then you're limited to the time that you have. You have an agenda to manage. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about how different the approach that we're proposing is, and the fact that the more people we can get engaged in this process, I think the better chances we have for some permanent solutions. And I really do believe that fundamentally that is the key difference from previous actions and attempts is the communication with the public. I've provided you, I'm not going to go through it, but at your leisure you could read a little op-ed that I put together. Again, it's an invitation for the public to join in the discussion. And I've also provided you a one-page fact sheet that I think is helpful in sort of laying out the problem statement, again, for the public. Very soon this board will receive a letter, and it'll do the same thing. It's going to be asking you to please help us reach out to the community and suggest some ways in which you can get the information out to them and get them involved in what I'm about to show you here. The first thing I want to share with you this evening is a video. And this video was put together to really take the very complicated problem statement and make it easy for people to understand. And you know, times have changed. We have a president of the United States that twitters, right, with the public on basketball scores. And when everything is done this way now, this is the expectation of the public. They don't have time to come to the meetings, and they have families, and they play soccer and baseball and all that. And so if we really truly want the community's participation, and you as a board and other elected officials want to take input from the community in your decision-making process, I absolutely believe that this is the way to do it. And by the way, I would say that fundamentally that's another very different approach in the things that you're hearing this evening, is that in the zero-sum game, I don't know where the community is going to be asked. Do you want to put it over in this bucket or this other bucket? We're gonna ask them ahead of those decisions being made. So we have created a platform. There's a company called Peak Democracy. I don't know if you've heard of them. There's a lot of them these days. They're across the United States, Mind Mixer and Peak Democracy and many others that are helping local governments and other levels of governments create platforms and discussions with the public. And that's what we've done here. So this is think of it like Facebook. People can sign up for it, they log in, and they become part of the discussion. And in the platform itself, there are two things currently, and there will be more as we progress. One is a video, which I'm going to show you in just a minute, and the second is a survey. And it starts that dialogue with the community, right? The educational process on fire services and this particular problem statement. And eventually that process grows into additional open-ended questions and pieces of communication that will be critical for policymakers like yourselves in the future to take under consideration. And as we watch this video, let me give you this statistic. It's very interesting. 30,000 people in the first 6 days have already touched this video. So again, I ask you, right, how is it possible for us in these types of meetings to touch 30,000 people? You can't. It's impossible. But this is the new way of communicating with the public, which I think makes things a lot more meaningful at the end of the day. So why don't we watch the video and then I'll wrap up with a very quick PowerPoint.
Square mile area of East Contra Costa. The service area includes the cities of Brentwood and Oakley and surrounding rural communities. Like many local government agencies funded largely through property tax revenue, the district was severely impacted by the Great Recession. Until 2010, 8 fire stations and 52 firefighters provided emergency medical and fire suppression services for 96,000 residents. Due to declining revenue, the district was forced to close 5 of these 8 stations between 2011 and 2015 and cut personnel down to 34 firefighters, with only 9 on duty at a time. Over the same period, the population in the area grew by 17,500, resulting in approximately 600 more calls for service each year. The district's reserve fund has also been depleted, making the district even more vulnerable to future cuts. Today, travel time in response to a 911 call for an emergency in the district is 10.5 minutes. As response times increase, the ability of firefighters to prevent a fire from spreading or to save the life of a person who has stopped breathing is reduced dramatically. And with the population in this service area projected to grow by almost 12,000 people over the next 10 years, the ability of the district to provide adequate public safety services without sufficient revenue will continue to negatively impact response times. This puts the public at even greater risk. The first step in solving this problem is to engage residents in order to understand what levels of service they want for their neighborhoods. Get involved and learn more about the issues by exploring the Our Fire Services website at www.ourfireservices.org.
Thank you very much. And if you don't mind moving on to the PowerPoint, I'll give a few introductory remarks here, and then I'm going to fly through the PowerPoint because it really is a repetition mostly of the video, but there's a couple slides I definitely want to show you because I'm here tonight asking you to help me get the word out to the people. I thought it would be important for you to see what they might see when they get to the site. In fact, I encourage you yourself to go to the ourfireservices.org so you can see how all of this has come together. So again, going through this pretty quick, I'm not going to repeat what the video did, but you know who the district serves, and that's repeated here. Again, 5 out of the 8 stations have had to close to the funding issue. Revenues are down. We've been suffering staffing cuts and use of reserves because of the lack of funding. All this is repeated. So let me get to a couple of key slides here that are different from the video. And these are just different tools that we're using to communicate with the public. But starting here, we do need to find a solution. I think we all agree on that. And the fact that population is expected to continue to grow makes this urgent. This is about lives and this is about property. And fundamentally, think about that way. If you continue to have issues with burning structures to the ground and the property tax loss that we have when those things occur, not to mention the other obvious impacts, not a good road to go down. We need more revenue. I think we all agree that this is about money, period. And now the question becomes, what's the most equitable way to secure more revenue? That's fundamentally what we're beginning to ask the community. There will be funding options that we will continue to explore with the community. Again, the key is let's ask the community and educate them on what are the possibilities. These are just 4. There are general purpose type taxes like utility user tax, which require a simple majority. There's the parcel tax. Now that gets into the 218 issue and needing 2/3. The special benefit assessment, that's been tried, and we've included in here because we know it's a topic of conversation, the idea of reallocating property tax, and I think that we need to educate the public and them, us, on what does it mean to do that. Again, there are trade-offs, and in fact, there are some legal questions still in my mind, particularly on how school districts would participate in something like that, because my understanding is that they can't, and that puts a big hole in that reallocation effort, which is only going to put a bigger burden on some of the other agencies, making those conversations even more complicated. And by the way, I went out because I don't want to sound like I'm attacking Hal Bray here. I met with Hal Bray a couple of times and, in fact, offered the idea that maybe if they joined this effort, because this is going to happen before any kind of reallocation plan can come together. This question to the public is going to come in November if everything works out right. And if that fails, I'd be the first guy to sit at the table with Hal Bray and figure out, well, how does reallocation happen? There's a path forward, and the legislative changes that have to come with that, and the fact that, quite frankly, that's a California problem, and not just a Contra Costa County problem. There's a lot of special districts that have suffered some of the impacts of Prop 13. So look, when you get to the page, it looks like this, and then it starts to ask people questions. They can take the survey and answer those questions. And what happens, for example, here we start asking them what their expectations might be in terms of response time for fire medical services. They could answer. And then what happens is there's a little text box that pops up that gives them some the educational piece. So it'll say, for example, hey, the national standard says that we should be at your emergency in 4 minutes. Did you know that? And then it could re-answer the question. Now, you can stick with your original answer if that's what you believe should be the case. You don't have to agree with the national standard. But this is just one example. There's many questions on the survey that do exactly the same thing. Ask the question, people answer it, pop up information, and then do you still agree with your own answer? Do you want to change it? And what happens is that we're going to get analytics out of all of these questions. At the end of the day, we're going to have thousands. I can guarantee you thousands. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we've had 30,000 people hit the video. We've had over 600 people on the platform already that are active. It means they came in and they looked at the platform, started to study the page, and we've had over 200 that have actually answered the survey. Now, when you start to translate that, just that part, that's 12 hours of public testimony at a podium like this, which, by the way, I promise not to do to you this evening. So what we do is we start to take a look at the analytics, so when we come back to the policymakers like yourself, you're going to have some hard data and some real facts. No guesswork. This is what the community is thinking. These are some of the options they're willing to do. You can see here between the first time they answered this question, the number of stations, after they got additional information about national standards and what happens when the stations are too far away, et cetera, it starts to change their answer, right? Now they're looking for more stations to cover the area. So we'll be bringing some analytics. Again, here we go. On the 19th, we had 636 attendees. These are active people on the platform, over 230 responses, again, many hours of public testimony. Okay. So I can't thank you enough for your time this evening. I'm more than willing to take some questions. Again, my ask this evening is that we're going to submit a letter to you, and anything at all you can do, Twitter, Facebook, whatever tools you have, to communicate with your public on this issue and get them engaged in this activity would be very much appreciated by the task force.
Just one question, Gus. The community in the last couple of years saw a big downfall in Eakin, revenue, property taxes dropping, property tax revenues dropping, and looking at like your 10-year forecast. As that rebounds, you know what that does? What's it going to come back to? And is that money, could that money perhaps be reallocated since it's somewhat of a windfall to maybe an effort like this? You know, government's, you know, politics is the allocation of scarce resources. And, you know, some people will look at government as not having necessarily a revenue problem all the time, or perhaps a spending problem all the time. Not that that impacts these kind of cross-sectors of their efforts, but. You know, general governments here that would be looking at perhaps contributing some of that property tax increase toward this effort.
Sure. So, you know, two things come to mind. First is that I could tell you for Brentwood only, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, that in our 10-year financial model, we're still conservative because, you know, you read it every day. One day it's up, next day it's down. So we haven't quite come to the levels of 2008, for example. And quite frankly, there's a lot of us praying that, you know, we learned our lesson, right? And that we don't have a repeat of what happened in starting 2008. And it's been an extremely slow recovery. Has there been growth in property tax? Absolutely there has, thank goodness, and price of homes have gone up, and more sales, and the kind of activity that raises your property tax, and pure growth, because there are more people. But remember, more people needs more services in all areas.
Right.
So there's the challenge. So I want more cops, I want more code enforcement, I want to, you know, maintain my parks, give me more trails. And that's my point with the reallocation. I've never said that reallocation is not a possibility. I'm saying it's out of sequence. I think you do this first. And secondly, look statewide. And I'm intrigued by this. I got to share it. Some of the same people involved in this kind of local reallocation were the groups that supported Prop 15 in 1978. We said, as city managers and budget people, that this would happen. It's a bit of an irony, is all. So here we are. We're facing the music that a lot of people said in 1978 will be the case. It's not going to be easy, and it is. There's a big difference between one-time money, like we did to open for a little while the fourth station, or asking people to permanently give up revenue streams into the future. And I think that I can tell you with a lot of confidence, my bosses would want to sit down with their community and understand that what are the choices, and let them engage and be part of that discussion. Right, times 28 or however many agencies are on the list.
Thank you.
Go ahead. No, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate the presentation.
I have a question on timing. Knowing that how Ray and his group is going to take a while to get everybody at the table, if they're successful, and I hope they can make movement that way. You're talking about something that would come to the, I'm assuming, the November ballot.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the question. This has been one of the three recommendations in the MOU, which is exploratory. So even as I stand before you here, we're at the public outreach education stage, which should end around the end of May, beginning of June. And then all those analytics and the outcome of what the people are saying and willing to support are going to have to go back to the FAR board for a decision whether we go in November with the ballot initiative or not.
Right, that was my question. When does the FAR board have to make those? When's the drop dead if they decide?
They're going to have to make it in June, because then there's some additional work that has to happen, and the deadline for getting things into the November is August, like August 12th, something like that. So we've got this whole thing timeline mapped out, and so we're firing on all cylinders right now and making sure we don't miss any of the milestones.
Okay, thank you. Presentation.
I have two things. Thank you. I'm sorry. First of all, Gus, are you asking us to, as a district, to promote or to at least make available this survey to our residents through whatever outreaches that the district has, the 16 question survey, whether it be on our website page or on a Facebook page, you may have. Is that what you're asking for us to do?
We're asking exactly that. Whatever communication methods you have, you make known that this ourfireservices.org is available. Please log on and go take a look. And I really appreciate that question, because, you know, there's a big difference in these processes, as you know, between the public education and advocating for anything. So we're not advocating anything. We're asking the public to engage. And we're asking all different agencies and boards and elected bodies to help through their own processes to tell their communities, hey, you probably need to get involved. And here's how you do it.
And so there, I really don't see, you know, Hal and Brian, their hard work that they put into this is not necessarily a competition. These are competitive advances. Both of you have admitted that they need to happen. Maybe the sequencing is not agreed upon. But you have included that option in your thing, so I think it would be fair and equitable for the district to instruct staff to put this out on whatever available Facebook pages we have for the town, as well as onto our website, so that they get as many responses as possible. Or is that... is that appropriate?
Let me ask one question of Hal. Do you have any type of a website that discusses your program at all?
We have a Facebook page, and we're turning up a website now. We just bought the website, and we're putting the information on it.
Thank you. Well, I agree. I think that timing is everything. I think that because you're ready to go, that we should put this not only on our website,
push it up,
but put it on, put it in some of our bills that we send out, at least make a blurb on those in our communication. But also, when the other website becomes available, in order sure. to have the public see both sides, be able to do those same things with that. And I agree, Kevin, that it's not, I don't think it, it's not competition. It's two different ways to get to the same place. We need to do it as expeditiously as possible. And engaging the public the way that, that you have, I think, is the right first step. Alan and the rest of his group, I think, makes a lot of sense. It's just, it's a big battle. I personally, I can't speak to the board here, I personally have no problem in saying that yes, we would be able, we would like to sit down at the table with all these people and discuss putting you know, funds in the future. But, you know, there's not much we can do at the moment to do that. But this we certainly can move forward if you're happy to put yours on.
And even to the point about just saying both, I just think get as much information out there as possible. From all parties for all solutions, and I think that it'd be great to push those forward as soon as possible, staff, and with regards to, I think we have several Facebook pages, and get it out, because engaging the public is the key. No matter which, what, the chicken or the egg, engaging the public in the issue is what's really important here. The other thing, because of a request, we haven't been able to locate that MOU. Is that online someplace, or can you forward to staff where we can see the MOU between you and the other three, that you and the other two, the county and Oakley came together with, so we could get a copy of that to our legal counsel?
Sure. The MOU's been approved by everybody. We're actually gathering, because everybody had to approve it at a different time. We're
sure.
trying to gather one with all the signatures, and as soon as we have that, we'll ship it over.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Okay. I've got a question. All right. And I'm asking this as a proper woman, more than a workman. Assuming this gets on the ballot in November, it's going to take the support of Discovery Bay, just like every other community, to make it fly. And there has to be something in there for the residents of Discovery Bay. And I say that because we're the ones with the 10.5-minute response time. We're the ones with the house catches on fire, here is burning the ground, you're not going to save. And you're not going to save the house next door either. I watched my neighbor's house burn to the ground on North Point. People hear when there's a rumor of a fire station opening. We're sitting with one little fire station. And when there's a rumor of a fire station opening, it's not Station 59. It's going to be here or here or here. And I think to get people to step up and say, yeah, I support that, I would pay more. I would take a parcel, whatever. But I have to have something in it for me. I'm not referring to me, I'm referring to the community. So I think if you can't give the residents of Discovery Bay some kind of assurance that if they're willing to pay more money, they're going to get a fire station, or they're going to get something here to help them. I know I wouldn't support it. I'm just being honest, and I think a lot of people come forward and say, sure, I'll jump all over it, and then when it comes time to support it, they go, no, there's nothing in it for me, I'm not going to support it. I hope that makes sense.
I think that makes total sense. You know, one of the challenges we have in reaching to the fire is that it's a system, right? And this, I've spent my time as city manager explaining to the public that fire service, medical services is a system, and the resources move. They're not static, and they're chasing the next spawn. We don't know the next heart attack, the next kid in the swimming pool. And so this system's broken. So at a minimum, I would say to people that anything you can do to increase resources is of benefit to anybody that's served within that district. The second thing I would say to you is that the master plan that's being developed is going to dovetail with this process, right? We're gonna explain through this process to the people what the master plan is saying about fire services within the district. I can't predict what that's gonna say yet, but it's gonna speak to the system. And I think that's gonna be the key to those kinds of discussions with the public. Here's where you benefit, and here's why.
And because I think I would agree with Mark and Director Simon on this, and I think he and I have actually had discussions on this before. And I think that you know, personally, I would rather hear you asking me for $40 a month or $450 a year or $480, whatever, four times the loan is, $480 of course is here, as opposed to $100 a year increase to where we're, all we're doing is getting a Band-Aid. Because then you can bring something back to where we know we're going to be able to get eight stations open again. Or, you know, even, you know, we were blessed enough to have all 10 stations that it was recommended that we have for our district. But a little bit's not going to help. We really have to go for a lot. I really that's my personal opinion.
You know, I really appreciate that comment, and without insulting any of my predecessors that have made a few attempts here, that's not my goal here. You're exactly right. Fundamentally, what's different in this approach is that we're working with the community to first understand the level service issue, right? Rather than, well, let's see if we can get squeeze $100. Now, how do we spend it? No, let's be honest. Here's what it's going to take, but here's what you resolve. And that's why I said earlier, the master plan is looking at not just us, right? We might not even be around. But 25, 30 years from now, how many people do we have to serve in this district? And has the problem been solved, or are we going to have generations of city managers who can just say, press me?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for your
appreciate
time.
We have another Contra Costa Taxpayer Association, Jack Beer.
Thank you very much. My name is Jack Weir. I'm the president, and currently I'm the interim executive director of Contra Costa Taxpayers. So I'm kind of tired. We've been working very hard getting ready to deal with the June ballot that they'll all be seeing. There are 13 or 14 measures on Contra Costa's June ballot, including a half a dozen tax measures, and we have analyzed those. And I just want to say, compared to the November ballot, the June ballot will be a piece of cake. The November ballot is going to be flooded with tax measures of every conceivable kind. I want to make some comments, but I want to talk reality. I've been working with Hal and Brian. They are true grassroots taxpayers. They're paid for this themselves. It's all shoe leather. They've come up with a solution that, in my opinion, is a long-term sustainable solution, and it's fair to the taxpayers of the East County Fire District. The other reality is allocations for tax within the tax rate areas of the county have been grossly out of balance ever since the passage of Prop 13. It has nothing to do with Prop 13. The allocation of property taxes after Prop 13 was the legislature's responsibility, and they booted it. So the reality is you've got a tax rate allocation for this district that was appropriate for cornfields and almond orchards and volunteer fire departments, and that's no longer the case. The other reality, and I already told you I'm tired, so I'm just going to tell you what's on my mind. This will be the people Gus represents. We're talking about putting another parcel tax measure on the June ballot. And they came and talked to me, and they talked to some other people, and we reminded them that a parcel tax is not a fair solution to this problem, particularly since this particular fire district has a number of problems, including the fact that, as is the case with so many public agencies, they have overpromised on benefits. Those benefits have been underfunded, and now an increasingly large portion of their operating budget, whatever it happens to be, is being eaten up in steadily increasing pension premiums. But that's a problem that the civil grand jury and the Contra Costa Taxpayers Association and others have pointed out for years and years and years. Now that chicken is coming home to roost. And we see a steady reduction in funding from the state downward because the state has to deal with that massive pension issue also. But getting back to the point of putting a parcel tax measure on the June ballot would have been the third time in my memory that fire district had tried to accomplish that. And we killed the prior two for the very reasons that I'm outlining for you. It is not fair, and it's totally regressive. It's not on the June ballot, and I think that's because when they tried again the way they usually do, they ran into some opposition, and it sort of rattled them. And now they're spending tens of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money coming up with some slick solution to go out and talk to the community and get a bunch of statistics and whatnot. And although I can't promise you, I'll tell you right now, if they put a parcel tax on the November ballot, Contra Costa taxpayers will once again do everything we can to kill it. It's not fair, and it's regressive, and it really doesn't solve the problem. It unfairly burdens the taxpayers in this district who pay the same property tax as everybody else in this county, but a significantly lower portion of their property tax funds their fire district. So, in effect, they're subsidizing these other fire districts that operate elsewhere in the county, and that's patently unfair, and it's inequitable. So we will oppose the parcel tax. Let me say this, though. If this agency and other agencies do what I think you should do, and I encourage you to support what Hal and Brian have come up with, I think it will snowball because it's like a sensible, relatively painless solution. And it doesn't burden the taxpayers. And frankly, the taxpayer well is dry. It's dry. They can't afford any higher taxes. So, what Hal said is absolutely true. All that is required to implement this reallocation of tax rates is the political will of a couple of dozen agencies and the elected officials. You can absolutely do this. As Hal pointed out, Oakley, Brentwood, and the county and the fire district did it in relatively short time. There's nothing more complicated than that. In terms of getting this through the legislature, I can assure you that the local assemblymen have told me they will carry this legislation. And you know what? This kind of stuff happens in Sacramento all day, every day. Waivers on sales tax caps, it's happening all over the place, and everybody in Sacramento understands it. So if the local assembly people will carry this legislation, and you all sign an MOU that says you agree to forego a piddling, frankly, amount of your budget to improve these emergency response times, it's going to sail through just like that. It won't be a problem. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have one comment on that. It's much more complicated than that one time that allocation that the county and Oakley and Brentwood did. That was a one-time allocation. It was not an ongoing sacrifice of resources to each one of these individual districts. It's going to be perpetual forever. It complicates it tremendously. It's not this. It's kind of an apple and oranges thing. When you want it, you can't really compare that one-time deal. Let's talk about the reality of it. Let's talk about what Hal and Brian are doing. But let's not confuse it with it's that simple. It's not that simple.
Any other comments? I would like to ask the staff to legal to give us just a. I don't think there's no time frame on this, but maybe by the next meeting.
No time frame. Can you get it by tonight?
2 weeks?
Yeah, they didn't want you to give an answer this evening. But if you could give us, from the legal standpoint, the 6 or 7 steps that it would take for a reallocation at the state level, and then your professional opinion on the MOU of all 20 districts getting together, and research also whether school districts have any flexibility in deciding amongst themselves reallocation. That's been 10,000 hours.
Not a problem. And you've already kind of directed this because we dealt with this issue in terms of the LAFCO and the detachment issue and how that works. So it's that kind of recalcation of the ad valorem. So we can provide that. No problem.
Okay, thank you.
I think you might have other public comments with the president.
Just to interrupt and not to spend a lot of your district money, our legal staff is working on a white paper on this that we'll be happy to share with other organizations. And I just hate to see a bunch of agencies spend a lot of legal staff time working on that, but when that's done, we'll make sure it's shared out with us.
Do you have a time frame on that, too?
We're hoping for our main meeting, so look in the next couple of weeks.
Maybe it'd be better to get that and have them evaluate that as opposed to
doing it. We forward that to our legal and touch base we will
communicate it when we bring it up.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
Thanks for the opportunity here. I just want to fill in a couple of blanks or missing pieces of information. It's not that I object to the concept of reallocation, because David Pico and I were working on the grassroots effort before we plugged on it, and it was also involved in reallocation. But we understood the difficulty of the task, and we understood that some type of revenue measure was going to have to come first. I mean, if we just had even a good understanding of the lay of the land, the difficulty of the task in Sacramento, you can kind of see the order of things that are necessary. So we don't oppose the concept of reallocation, but we think it's being oversimplified by the group. I think it's probably going to be in the white paper, perhaps legal counsel is already aware, but in the existing revenue and taxation code, the language probably could not be clearer for a layperson. And that education money is off limits. It says so specifically. And if you just look at some of the legislation that's come and put it in law in the last 10 years, They built like walls, fortresses, moats, alligators, the whole nine yards around education. The idea that you're going to go in there and grab some of it for your pet project, your special interest, which, let's be honest, this is a special interest. Some people don't care about the fire department. They've never called it. They don't think they will ever have to. Therefore, it's not a priority in their mind. So don't assume that everybody puts the value on it, that probably most of us in the room. A few other random thoughts to kind of can fill in the blanks. Yeah, the county has $1.2 billion budget. Only about $300 million of that is discretionary money. I don't think they've just got a rounding error to deal with. In terms of the MOU money, the Oakley contribution was already earmarked. All they did was stick their name on somebody's homework that was already done and entered it in, and they got credit. The Brentwood money was very much the same thing. It comes out of a benefit district over there that was already marked for public safety. In fact, it had been used previously to fund the firefighter position. So there's nothing new there. They're not taking Parks and Rec money and sticking it in the fire. And then at the county level, you can look up the video, very specifically one-time money. And Candace Anderson, Supervisor Anderson, was very clear that she had a problem with the precedent that was being set. Looks like she was kind of smart about that, because now the precedent got set and people are thinking, oh, it's been done, we can do it again. So again, I think there's a lot of holes in the program. If you knock out the 60 cents of your property tax dollar that goes to education and realize that it's off limits, now you're going to have to get 7.8 million from a much smaller bucket. And, oh, by the way, the 7.8 million funds a six-station model. You can all see number seven sitting next door here. So if you think that solution is going to solve a local problem, it'd be immediately local problem, and reopen this station, I think you're probably mistaken. There's some other questions we'll be, have to get to in the time. I don't oppose their effort. I commend their enthusiasm. I think they're just kind of ignoring some pertinent information that kind of better aligns the task before us. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Good
evening. I wasn't going to speak tonight, but several of you may know I served on this board for many years as a director. I served on Contra Costa's LAFCO. I spent a career as a firefighter, and during that entire time, I've been a taxpayer. So I wear a lot of hats, and I'm here to tell you what I've experienced. I'd like to share with you and give you some perspective on some of the things that were said tonight. I have 7 points, so I'll go through them relatively quickly, but what concerns me the most, or the number one point, is you're all probably familiar with what we used to have, which was considered a mutually assured destruction treaty. And that's what I see happening here. You do have two competing interests. You can be nice to each other and say, we're not really competing with the other one, we want to work together. But the truth of the matter is, neither side, well, only one side wanted to work together, the other side didn't. My biggest fear as a taxpayer and as a recipient of fire services is that the two will offset each other and we'll get nothing. LAFCO's last MSR gave the district a zero sphere of influence, basically said they need not to exist. I believe they're back up for another MSR, and I don't see that changing. A couple of points of clarification, and I'll breeze through them. Mr. Bray mentioned that the county has $1.6 billion in budget. As Mr. Macon mentioned, actually only $300 million of that is discretionary funding. The rest goes to state and federal mandated programs. So the county really doesn't have $1.6 billion to dish around. It's a much, much smaller figure. And I'm not here to stand up for the county. Also, the one-time funds were made very clear. I've been working on this issue for 10 years. I've attended a lot of meetings, not as many as some here, but more than most. And I can tell you that during the meetings that I attended, every single board member made it very clear the money was one-time, because it's not ongoing. This is to help an emergency situation, keep the station open. And with that one-time money came the strong recommendation that they pursue a ballot measure in November, looking at that as the only possible solution to save the district before it runs out of money. That they are going to run out of money. Oakley used their Cypress Lakes money that they had already been taking from a developer, so they didn't generate any new money. It was pass-through money. Brentwood and Gus, clarify if I have this wrong, you guys use CFD money, an existing emergency account that they have, that they've dedicated in Brentwood for this type of thing. The county used federally refunded money from an overpayment from the federal government. In other words, it hadn't been earmarked for anything. Otherwise, the answer would have been no. There would not have even been that one-time money. We got lucky. The planets lined up. It worked out. But now, all of a sudden, we have people saying, well, they did it once. They can do it all the time. I'm here to tell you, they can't, and they won't. The legislative, point number two, legislative analyst's office stated, reallocation cannot be done on a local level. They're real clear about that. There's a whole, they have a whole opposition. Mr. Atterbury may know about it. They've opined on it. Reallocation cannot be done locally. Has to be done at the state. So if it's to be done, and I'm a supporter of it, I just know it's a long-term solution. We're talking 10 years, if not 30. Number three, Bob Campbell, our auditor controller here in Contra Costa County, confirmed school districts are off limits. They cannot give money to another district. Can't happen, won't happen. There's a law against it. It's real clear. And if Mr. Gray thinks his presentation swayed anyone at Liberty, I'm here to tell you that Liberty Union has a bond prepared for June. So if they have extra money, you might want to ask yourself or Mr. Gray why they're going to go to the district and ask for more money. People don't ask for more money when they have extra money. So I see a conflict in that statement. Budgets are done in June and July. So unless you and the 30 other districts have already allocated this money, we've already sealed the fire district's fate. They run out in 2017. So unless you are willing to give the money that the reallocation folks want you to give right now, certain things are going to happen, and it won't be reopening stations. So that deal's already off the table. It's already dead. I believe Mr. Twa said it's not going to happen. I think that was his exact words. Last, under Mr. Bray's plan, he talked about three stations opening, and I say this because what Director Simon said was very, very important. People in Discovery Bay want to know what it's going to do for them. I agree. We have one station now. The problem is we have a big district, and we're part of a district, and because most folks are not firefighters and they don't know that the system works by people backfilling and other stations coming in, that there is a value, even though your station right down the street, or in this case right next door, doesn't get opened, the fact that there's other stations out there, they can respond to your fire, because one station cannot put out a fire, one fire engine cannot do the job. But I want to be real clear, under neither plan will you see the station open. I don't know that I'll ever see it open in my lifetime, and I'm just being honest. There's no money to open it. Bethel Island has no station. Byron has no station. Knightson basically has no station. They're going to be first in line with their hand up, saying if there's going to be a station open, it's going to be ours. And ask yourself, if you lived in one of those communities, how eager would you be to vote for a tax? Mark, you said it. You're not eager. I'm not eager to vote for a tax here in Discovery Bay, knowing that the chances that it has of passing are not real great, and what is going to be the immediate vision that we see. And that's where I do applaud, though, the task force for looking at a long-term plan and trying to extrapolate out and look at how we can fix this. But rest assured, Discovery Bay is not on any list except dead last for us to open our station. Probably skipping over something here. LAFCO, I mentioned I was on LAFCO. Again, 10 years of experience. Folks that are coming late to the party may be wanting to tell you that, oh, we just need to get all these people together. Well, I'm here to tell you we have. In 2006, we had 300 people meet twice over in Martinez, try to fix the upcoming fire problem that we're all living right now. Those 300 people could not agree, walked out of the room both times saying, hey, this was really great, I learned a lot of stuff, but am I going to take money out of my pocket to fund the fire district? No. David Twa, the CAO of the county, said if we had extra money to give to East County for their fire protection district, I think we'd be opening our own stations in Central County before we gave money to another district. East County Fire is a special district, no different than you are here. They're not a county fire department. That's a lot of folks think they're a county fire department and we're paying our taxes to the county. They're not, they're a special district. You all know, you count your pennies. I heard Catherine say tonight about sharpening her pencil. And I heard Gus Vina say, it's a zero-sum game. We say it all the time. It means you only have a dollar. Dividing that up differently means that you still only have a dollar. So do you guys have extra money to spend? I don't think you do. Because if you do, you're just going to have to ask for your next increase. It's going to have to be even bigger. And the reallocation that's currently being talked about is nothing more than a shell game. It's nothing more than taking money out of your right pocket and putting it into your left. Because when they say we're going to take money from those special districts, you as directors know the special district is the people. They are the taxpayer. We're already paying our taxes to you. They're asking you to take our taxes and put them somewhere where we didn't ever ask for them to go. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with them creating 30 dysfunctional districts where today we only have one. So let's fix the one and not spread the cancer to the other 30. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other public comments? Seeing none, we'll close presentations and move on to President's report and Director's comments. I'd like to comment. I went to the Cuyahoga County Special District Association meeting. There was supposed to be a vote for a LAFCO representative. They needed 23 delegates there. They got 19. So the plus of that is that the person that was going to be reelected will hold his position until the reelected person is confirmed, which means just stays in office until they get voted.
There you go.
Anyway, so it was. And there were some other issues there, nothing forthcoming. LAFCO had a presentation, and I was glad to see that on an email that we received. Special districts can do something. I can't recall exactly what it was, but it was sent out to Captain. They made that same presentation there. So there was a CSDA. Any other director's reports? Okay,
I'm ready to move on.
We're going to go to manager's reports. Update on the board's special teaching and bond project.
Thank you. So that's Brian. You're up.
Brian, it's going to be a hard act to follow.
Hopefully, it's a little short.
Yeah. Don't try.
We started working on some of the PG&E funded projects. We completed the dog park, dividing them into large dog park and small dog park. And the popularity is growing with the small dog park. We measure that, by the way, the bags when we come out.
Okay, that's a good value
of
measure.
The large dog park, most of the people are happy with the way we split it up. I had a couple people complain the first time I laid it out, so we adjusted it, and everyone seems to be happy with what we did. We added some picnic tables to both sides and some benches into the small dog park, and we also have water and dog station, of course. Our next project... these are some of the picnic tables. We actually repurposed these tables, so they didn't cost any money.
Great idea. Kudos to staff.
We added a couple benches. Didn't spend a whole lot of money on them, but it gets shady there in the afternoon, so it's a nice place to sit down when you're out there with your dogs.
It's like that small itch in the back of the head.
Actually, the dogs don't mind. This is the ADA gate for the access for wheelchairs and other rolling chairs for the pool. We're going to be starting the concrete project soon. We're kind of changing the way we're doing things. We used to, when I first got here, we were working more on POs, and now we're going more towards actual contracts for everything. I have talked to the concrete contractor, and he's just hanging in there for us to get our act together. I'd like to get everything done before Memorial Day so that people can come in and start enjoying the pool and not remember. One of our other projects with the pool is the Earth Day. We're going to remove some of the rock that you see there, not that particular location, but a couple other locations. And we're going to paint the, I'm going to have the Boy Scouts prime the existing building, and we're going to paint it to match this building so that it looks a little bit better to start with. We were going to initially remove that building completely, but because of all the pool equipment in there, we're probably going to dress the building up and re-roof it, which will save money too, so we can allocate the project. It just seems like a better idea, because we would have to completely dismount all the piping and the electrical in the building, and it's just a lot of added cost.
That's the area with the pump and the filtration system and all the filters.
Over here. And I have been working on some of the lighting out there too. As far as getting all the existing lighting, we've got more of the building lights going in too. Not having a real maintenance person for the buildings in the past is kind of a problem, but I'm kind of tackling it a little bit at a time. Even if you walk outside, either front or back, you'll notice more lighting working tonight than from last night. Moving along. We replaced the rolling gate that has on the south side of the community center. It's for vehicle access for when there's larger parties or park shows. There was a palm tree that had grown into the existing rail system and bent them so that you couldn't use it. So we actually had to physically pick up a 20-foot gate and move it. And a lot of times at night, there's only one person here at the end of the functions to put it back, and it's really a hazard for people. So that's been replaced. It's real nice. We've been under budget on all of our projects, and this one we had the scouts do for less than $100, and I think at about $1,500 for archery poles. They're going to hang a backdrop. We have an archery class during the summer. They're going to hang a backdrop in these. And then what they do is they put the arrow or the targets in front of the backdrop, and when you shoot, if you miss the target, the backdrop stops the arrows.
What if you're a really bad shot?
Well, the teacher is really good. He starts you out with a short distance, and as you get more in tune with what you're doing, you get to move farther.
I'm just thinking about the guy sitting in that office when an arrow comes flying through.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's just a storage area right now. I actually thought that was going to be my office when I came in.
That's it. We're working on something better.
Yeah. And that's about it. I have been working on some of the lighting. The concrete project is next, and then we'll probably take a break, get our act together as far as an RFP for the roofing goes. That's going to be probably our biggest dollar.
You know when you'll get your bids in?
We're going to put it out to bid in July. I'm hoping to have bids in August. Oh. And then the pool is open for, theoretically, for rec swim, lap swim, and swim team. So we can't do anything with the site until the end of the season. And we're going to have to close the building and the entire site when they remove the existing roof. Hopefully that won't be a two-day process, but it could be longer.
Okay.
They actually have to bag the whole roof.
Good job.
Thank you.
If I could just mention, Brian really is doing an exceptional job. If you'll notice, his projects are coming in right within budget, no change orders. And the budget wasn't artificially high, and he's coming in a lot lower, but $25 low, $100 low, $200 low. He's really doing an exceptional job. And then I also want to mention my second house that I lived in Discovery Bay when my children were 2 and 3 years old, we used to go along Clipper. And so I had a lot of familiarity with probably every bush and everything along that walkway, and I drove by the other day, and it was just stunning the difference in the quality of the landscaping and the job that our staff is doing. It's a far better product than what we've had before. And they just really, there's a lot of talent there, and I really appreciate the work.
I have a lot of help staying within budget, too, with Dina right here. She's on it all the time.
She's
just a good thing.
He says
another shining
he
star.
Says yeah.
Okay, General Manager's report, please.
Thank you. I'll go briefly, especially because of the lateness of the night. The fire hydrant, as you know, the district has a long-standing ordinance done. It really won the district from the inception that said that you can't be accessing the fire hydrants except with the permission of the general manager. And in fact, what we're seeing is we are seeing access of fire hydrants. So we need to batten up the hatches on that, and we're working on a policy. And the primary issue for us is the security of our water system to make sure that those that are accessing fire hydrants, other than the fire districts, have the right backflow device and that it's done and safe, and that our water system is safe and secure. The second issue is the price, and that is just to make sure we're charging the reasonable and actual cost on the depreciation of the meters and on what it takes to make sure that we're monitoring it properly. And lastly, what we will bring back for you probably at your next meeting is a full policy and more details, is also encouraging every and placing the responsibility on every staff member to be watching out for people that are illegally accessing our fire hydrants, as long as what we will do with those folks when we find them. So that is something that we want to put a fairly high priority on. We'll bring it back to you. Just a couple other items for you. Earth Day is Saturday. Monica has done a really good job. We have 26 vendors, the Lions Club cooking, and a number of volunteers. She said 12 to 15 volunteers to date, showing up between 9 and 12 to do some work to help Brian and the staff out. Also, thank you to the board members for completing all of your required training. It is much appreciated. I understand that that is not always easy to pack all that time in this high-paying job of yours, but we were just able to release two thick documents. That was the renewal for the District of Distinction and the District of Transparency. They're being reviewed as a courtesy by LAFCO and Iron House Sanitary District. Once they renew those, that will go up to the Special Districts Association at the end of the month. So much appreciated. We're one of 28 districts in the state, District of Distinction, and one of about 100 for District of Transparency. So we really...
That's out of about 4,000.
There's an awful lot. Recreation issues, because we are ramping up with our recreation, I'm asking Mac Kaiser to come to the board at the next meeting and then make sure that he comes and does monthly reports when we're in high peak season. And fire station, I had a productive meeting with the fire chief, and hopefully this item will come back to you, or may not need to come back to you, but we can get this wrapped up this month. And my goal is to get Brian in there before we get too much heat going on in June. Also, Veolia contract, we're wrapping that up and expect that to be signed either this week or early next week.
Great.
And that concludes my report.
All right. Subcommittee meeting, Park and Rec does not have a meeting at this date. The Finance Committee.
Finance Committee met and discussed the draft budget.
Thank you. Correspondence, public records, any future agenda items?
No, we have some busy items coming up for you in May because of the capital improvement program, the budget, fee study, and all of those associated things that are keeping all of us busy.
Good. Here, a motion to adjourn.
Make that motion.
Second. All in favor? We are adjourned at